The title, as you can read, Entering Japa and Kirtan in a Prayerful Mood. Since the theme of our time together this weekend is in relation to prayer and its role in achieving the goal of bhakti, and since the primary means of deliverance in this age is the chanting of the holy name, combining prayer with the chanting of the holy name. Because after all, the chanting of the holy name or the Maha Mantra is a prayer. We all know. We're praying to Krishna for being once again engaged in his service. And that's a prayer. And then with prayer, there's a mood of prayer. We've been discussing all these things. So I thought I would start with one verse. Dravida Prabhu, Namastakam by Rupa Goswami, number 7.
Okay.
It's on the slide. You know it by heart?
Yep.
Okay, let's go.
Suridashidajanati rashaye rammichidhanasukhasvarupine nama gokala mahotsavayate krishna puna vapushe namo namaha.
Did I do it line by line?
No. You have your own lyrical translation, right?
I didn't.
You didn't?
Sorry.
Okay. There are a number of translations. This one is a very pleasant one, sweet one. O name that destroys the many sufferings of they who take shelter of you. O name that is the form of delightful and intense spiritual bliss. O name that is a festival of happiness for Gokula. O perfect and complete holy name of Lord Krishna. Namaha. I bow down and offer my respects to you. I bow down and offer my respects to you. You heard Dravida describe the Namaha type of prayer, and this is in this prayer by Rupa Goswami, as well as glorification. Prabhupada taught that one should chant the holy name of the Lord like in the mood of a child calling for their mother. And there are different kinds of cries of a child. I'm learning. And one of them is that blood-curdling one when they can't find their mother. So, those of you that have attended the Festival of the Holy Name, you'll recognize this picture, or in Gita Nagari, Japa Retreat, like the featherless little baby birds. They're completely dependent. They can't fly, they can't walk, to survive, they're fully dependent upon mother and father bird. And very naturally, mother and father bird, they love taking care of their baby birds. They don't have to go to daycare centers and learn how to take care of their children. They know how to do it. And the mood, looking at the little baby birds, is the mood of dependence. So this very much connects with the prayerful mood of kirtan and japa. Has very much to do with the humility discussion yesterday evening, and I'll be spending some time on that also this morning, because it prompts the taking shelter. Our process, the bhakti process, is a descending process for those of you that are not familiar with that language. There's ascending, where by my own effort, I try to penetrate into the higher truths by my power of speculation. Ascending. Or by my great austerities and great effort, I try to master the yoga process, conquer the mind and conquer the senses and become fixed in a trance of meditation upon the Lord of the heart. Ascending. And our bhakti process is descending. Doesn't mean we don't make any effort, but we're at the same time, whatever effort we make like this, it's fully dependent on mercy, without which we are not going to make spiritual progress. That's our mood of praying, whether it's the japa or kirtan or any other form of prayer. And I thought, I have a lot of appreciation for the work that Gaurijan Prabhu has done with many things, including the quality of chanting, improving the quality of chanting, because that's the essence of our Hare Krishna movement, is the quality of our chanting. So along with his book on japa, he created a little meditation. He calls it Vrindavan Meditations, but it's most of them are meditations on the holy name with images from Vrindavan. So what I was thinking to do is I'll just do a little preview of how visual images and prayer can assist in entering into japa, in this case, or kirtan, in a prayerful mood. So praying to the holy name, O holy names of Krishna, may the hard, crushing wheel of life extract humility from my offense-hardened heart. Let that humility give birth to the sweet nectar juice of devotion, devoted service to you. In case you don't recognize, if you're from the West, this is a machine common in India for extracting the sugar cane juice from the sugar cane. And the wheel spins and spins, and they run the cane through the sugar cane machine, and the juice becomes extracted. It's a juice extractor. So Gaurijan has taken a photograph of somebody in Vrindavan that's running one of those machines, and you see it running, and that inspired, the image inspired the prayer. May the hard, crushing wheel of life extract humility from my offense-hardened heart. So what I'm planning to do is just go through these a little bit, and then we'll go back to the beginning, and with your beads in hand, or without them, we'll chant in a mood like the little birds, fully dependent. Simile, we're fully dependent upon the descending mercy of the holy name. And then some of these images, we could just take the whole rest of the class just chanting japa together, seeing the images and meditating on the prayer to the holy name. And if we were to do that, I think you would appreciate the message, besides the theory, the practice of calling in a prayerful mood to the holy name. So we'll do that for a bit. Here's another one. This one I particularly like. O holy names of Krishna, may I cast off the burden of Maya and accept your shelter. Kindly award this weak soul the required strength to serve you. This is perhaps my favorite one in the whole meditation book. The image is a common image one might see in Vrindavan. Some lady, Brijvasi lady, has gathered a bundle of something and put the bundle of something upon her head, much like we carry a bundle of our maya on our head and live our whole life carrying a load of maya on our head. So the prayer is to the holy name, please help me, give me the strength to cast off this burden of maya and instead take your shelter. But I'm weak, so please, a petition, kindly award this weak soul the required strength to serve you. In our mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna is the all-attractive, and Rama means the reservoir of pleasure, but Rama can mean, Prabhupada has written this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, can also mean Balaram or Ramachandra. And Balaram gives the requisite strength to carry out our devotional service, which is the second part of the prayer. So depending if it matches your, you know, orientation of your heart, it can be very simple. Krishna, please attract me, attract my heart so that this burden of maya, I can just leave it and take your shelter instead. Please attract me to that position. But I'm weak. I need the strength to do that. Balaram is the source of all spiritual strength. And you enter into that mood while chanting japa, and it's a wonderful prayer. The mood of prayer is, I find, very nice. O Krishna, please protect me from offending you and your holy names. By your grace, may affection and taste for chanting your names manifest in my heart. Just a simple Vrindavan scene of cows, a cow and a baby calf, and the affectionate baby calf coming to enjoy happy activity with the mother. O Krishna, please protect me from offending you and your holy names. By your grace, may affection and taste for chanting your holy names manifest in my heart. Another very nice scene. Little frisky, playful baby calf. O Krishna, O Shrimati Radharani, may the untamed calf of my mind be restrained and soothed by the firm hand and rope of the constant chanting of your holy names. Those of you that experience the untamed mind that not only wishes to go here and there, it goes here and there. Very frolicsome, playful, forget any constraint, forget it. Here and there and here and there. Nice prayer. May the untamed calf of my mind be restrained and soothed by the firm hand and rope of constant chanting. O holy names of Krishna, I pray to you for deep entrance, for offenseless chanting, concentrated chanting, constant chanting, service and taste. May I walk only toward you. Nice meditation, nice mood of praying to the holy name. And there's others. But I think we'll take too much time with this, but you may wish, after this experience, to spend some time in your own japa, especially if you're a little bit like me, where visual images really help? I've shared this before, but I think Dravida will appreciate. When I, the first temple that I lived in the Hare Krishna movement, was in Boston, where ISKCON Press existed before it became the BBT. And the artists were residing there, and they had a system where the three of the artists would get together, principal artists, and they would discuss the latest recordings that Prabhupada gave of his Bhaktivedanta purports, and then they would conceptualize together the images that would illustrate the texts. And then after they agreed on the content, one, it was Bhardwaj, did the initial creation. He made all the lines and, set up the whole image. And then Jadarani filled it in. And then Muralidhar did all the detail, all the jewels and the whatever the fine detail work. So it was an assembly line, and they shared the production. That changed after some time, but it was off limits. No one was supposed to go to the artist's area because they had to have full concentration to do their work. If they had people interrupting them, they wouldn't get the work done. So it was a rule. You can't go to the art room. And every day I went to the art room and sat and just watched them. And as I was sitting watching them, I didn't say much. I just, they got to be a routine. They would just describe the pastime. So here I'm, this, spanking new bhakta, looking at these beautiful paintings, hearing the description of the pastimes of Krishna. And every day, so after Sankirtan, coming back, the band would come back and everyone would go take prasadam, and I would go run upstairs to the art room and sit and watch and hear. So that became, that made a deep impression. And visual images, I find, they're very helpful in Krishna consciousness and in getting an impression of something besides the verbal part, the visual part. So when you put the two together, it's double powerful. So like this. This is the Parikrama path in Vrindavan. And a typical sadhu in the early morning, bundled up and barefooted, chanting japa. So that scene is not an uncommon scene, plus, some writing on the tree here, writing on the wall here, not graffiti, just something about Krishna. O holy names of Krishna, I pray to you for deep entrance, for offenseless chanting, concentrated chanting, constant chanting, service and taste. May I walk only toward you. So, with your eyes seeing the image of the sadhu chanting japa, giving some thought to the words, we don't want our mind to go away from the holy name, but to help us enter into the mood of prayer to the holy name. Primary, singular focus goes to the holy name, but these prayers help one enter into the mood of chanting the holy name in a prayerful way. So get your bead bag, or if you don't have it, you can just use your fingers or something. And we'll go back to the birds in the nest. We'll take maybe 10 minutes or so and go through this at your own way that you'd like to do. So we'll just repeat the Namastakam number 7. The translation, O name that destroys the many sufferings of they who take shelter of you. O name that is the form of delightful and intense spiritual bliss. O name that is a festival of happiness for Gokula. O perfect and complete holy name of Lord Krishna, I bow down and offer my respects unto you. I bow down and offer my respects unto you. Now we'll chant for a bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the purpose of that little exercise is just to point in a direction. At least from my experience, maybe it's the way my mind works, but it takes some time to enter into a meditative mood. According to these messages and the images that go with the messages. So going one after the next like that isn't how I would personally do, but it was just like an indicator of something that you might want to spend some time with, taking the chanting of the holy name and making it into a prayer, as the message of this morning session is, entering into japa or kirtan in a meditative mood. The way that Subal led Mangal Arati this morning was like that also. It was kirtan. And Mangal Arati sometimes is, you know, light and dancing, and that's another kind of meditation, but chanting very slowly, like he chanted this morning, I found it to be very meditative. Vaisheshika Prabhu also leads kirtan like that. Just not starting slow and then building up the tempo, he just stays at a very deep meditative pace. There's variety. It's not one's better, the other's lesser or something. But entering into the mood of kirtan, commonly Jai Jagannath does this very expertly. He begins very slowly. Badahari does the same, very slowly. And one of the difficulties for the kirtan singer is the mridanga players want to, not Mukunda, he knows better because he's gotten, you know, the hard lessons from people that tell him that don't do that, don't speed up, but just stay at a nice slow pace until the mind, your spirit, your heart, your soul is just absorbed in the kirtan, and the ecstasy, the happiness, the jubilation that comes from the absorption in the holy name, not from picking up the tempo and going faster, going faster, going faster. It's absorption in the holy name. That's our primary means of deliverance, as we all know, the chanting of the holy name. So entering into the chanting of the holy name through kirtan or japa in a meditative way, in a way of humility. So let's spend a little bit of time, because we discussed it last night. I'm just going to connect a little yesterday evening's discussion and this morning's discussion, mentioning again our process. The bhakti process is a descending one. That means our mood is to receive descending mercy, what's the interest in receiving something descending if one is proud? It doesn't, the receptivity is less or gone. But on the other hand, this mood of humility, it's very prominent. The mood of humility invites descending mercy. So spend a little bit of time with Shikshastakam, especially Shikshastakam 3 for our newer people. Shikshastakam is a term. Shiksha means instruction. Ashtaka means eight. There are eight instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave about chanting from the very beginning stage up to the most perfect stage, the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, just through the medium of chanting the holy name. And if one follows those eight instructions, assimilates their message, accepts the mood of those messages, it carries one to the highest possible stage of love of God, the residents, as found in the residents of Vrindavan, just from chanting. The most unqualified can become the most fortunate. So, in the second of these eight prayers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the great mercy that's abundantly available in each and every one of the holy names of Krishna. He's invested, he says, all of his transcendental potencies. Krishna has many, many names. And in each and every one of those names, the fullness of the potency of the source of everything is invested in each and every one of those names. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. Anyone can chant at any time and place. He's made approach to him so easy. But unfortunately, I have no attraction. Durdaivam Idrisha Mahajani Nanuraga. I don't have any anurag. I don't have any attraction. I know all these nice things, but I don't have any attraction. Like the wheel. My heart is so hard. And that the lessons of life crush me. Let it come. Let that humility come out of the crushing of the hard wheel of life, extracting some humility from my heart. And in that mood of humility, let me call Krishna's name. So, the antidote for that having no attraction is supplied in the next verse. The remedy, the medicine for having no attraction. And I'm going to read just some little sections from the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where these verses are described very nicely. The Shikshastakam, they're instructions on the one hand, but they're prayers on the other hand. Lord Chaitanya is instructing us by giving these instructions, but he's also praying to Krishna, to the object, to the Lord of his life. So on the topic of humility, to chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor. But one should offer others all respectful obeisances. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests. And even if drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. And Prabhupada's purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This practice of forbearance, taror iva sahishnana, is very difficult. But one actually engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the quality of forbearance automatically develops. A person advanced in spiritual consciousness through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra need not practice to develop it separately, for a devotee develops all good qualities simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. So constant chanting, there's two things. When there are offenses, there one of the way to overcome offenses is continuously chanting. And continuously chanting means continuously chanting, like continuously chanting. Because the holy name is so powerful that continuous chanting carries one to the other side of the mentality of offense or the impurity in the heart that causes the offense. So that's one remedy. Then another remedy is you do make some effort. You're depending on mercy, but let's say inattentiveness. You practice attentiveness. Put something on the other side of the pan scale. Instead of criticizing the devotees of the Lord, you serve and honor and appreciate the devotees of the Lord like that. Just each of the 10 offenses. Something on the other side by cultivation. There are four parts, the grass, taror, trinadapi sunichena. Trin means straw or grass. So the grass is said to be, we should be like the blade of grass or a piece of straw, more humble even than the straw in the street. The grass is specifically mentioned in this verse because everyone tramples upon it, yet the grass never protests. This example indicates that a spiritual master or leader should not be proud of his position being always humbler than an ordinary common man. He should go on preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Not only spiritual masters, but each of us. Because the atmosphere in which we live, the material atmosphere, is problematic. It's by design. It has distress. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. That's how it's made. It gives distress to the living entity, so that they will understand this is not the position. I was hoping for happiness. And instead, I got this distressful situation. I don't belong here. I should return to my original position. So when distress comes, in whatever the form, directly related to our service or just living in the material world, just being here, one should be like the grass. And just forbearance is the word that Prabhupada is using. Very humble. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. So the mood of that Shikshastakam verse, it's a mood, just as the title of the topic for this morning's class, kirtan or japa in the proper mood, in a prayerful mood, petitioning the holy name to make our hard heart soft, to make our pride taken away and instead become very tolerant, and continue, not just tolerant, but continue in the mood of service. During one of the classes here, we were with some of the youth in our congregation, and there were some, I was thinking about this afterwards, some comments of, when difficulties in relationships come, what do? And you know, the tendency is, naturally, you back out, or you take some steps back. And there is another alternative, and that is you just continue being Krishna conscious. And depending upon the strength of one's Krishna consciousness, one can do that. And on the strength of Krishna consciousness, through association, that's what we're supposed to try to provide, as good association, help to bring things up. We're all defective. We're not like broken, but we're defective. We're conditioned souls, and we're trying to establish a spiritual community amongst persons who are less than perfect. So if that less than perfect component becomes the object of our attention, then we'll pull back. And if the indication of the soul, or collectively the numbers of souls, are here in this community of devotees because there's some attraction for Krishna, then we can stay and continue to extend Krishna conscious association. Try to be that kind of individual that is part of the elevating component to help myself and others in the community become relieved of the material contaminations by Krishna conscious association. And that same boils down to the chanting of the holy name. Our own stuff, our own impurities, and going beyond our own impurities through the proper chanting of the holy name, and doing so in a petitioning way, an appealing, prayerful mood to the holy name to lift us out of our own contaminations, our intolerance, our pride, like that. There's many, but I'll refer to one very nice description in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Lord Chaitanya's travel through South India, when he left Jagannath Puri, he had taken sannyas at the request of his mother. Instead of going to Vrindavan, he went to Jagannath Puri. And he stayed in Jagannath Puri for some months. But on the plea of going to look for his elder brother, Vishwarup, Lord Chaitanya wanted to travel in South India looking for Vishwarup, visit the holy places in South India. So some time passed and he went. And one of the places that he went was Kurmakshetra. Kurmakshetra. And when he was at the house of Kurma, the Brahmin, at Kurmakshetra, there was another Brahmin that lived in that same village, and his name was Vasudev. You know the story, Vasudev, the Brahmin? He was a leper. He had leprosy so acutely that there were worms that were eating his body. But Vasudev was such a liberal personality that if the worms fell out of his body, he would put them back in the hole so they could munch some more. They didn't want him to go hungry. When he heard that Lord Chaitanya was in Kurmakshetra, He went early in the morning. Although he had leprosy, he was able to move about. And he went to the home of Kurma. And when he reached the home of Kurma, he heard that early that morning, already Lord Chaitanya had risen, done his morning duties, and he had left on his travels. So Vasudev was very sad and feeling how unfortunate. If I had just been able to see Lord Chaitanya, my life would be transformed. So he was thinking in a very sincere mood of his own humility and eagerness to have Lord Chaitanya's association. So what happened? Lord Chaitanya came back. He's omniscient. He knew the heart of Vasudev. And he came right to Kurma Brahman's home. He saw Vasudev, the leper, with his decrepit body, and he immediately embraced him. And when Lord Chaitanya embraced him, his body was a miracle cure. His body became completely well. Golden in complexion, very beautiful features, bodily features. And Vasudeva was overwhelmed at the mercy that Lord Chaitanya had shown him. And what to speak of the power of miracle cure kind of thing. So he was just, he was moved very, very, very much by that mercy he had just received. Then his next thought was, I'll become proud. Proud because I've received this very special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He then thought of a verse, because he was a learned Brahmana, he thought of a verse that was spoken by Sudama, Brahman, similarly a Brahman, but in Krishna's pastimes, who was thinking, I may become proud because Krishna has shown me some special mercy. Who am I, a sinful, poor friend of a Brahmana, and who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences, nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. He was considering himself an unqualified, unfit personality to receive this kind of mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but at the same time very afraid of becoming proud of the mercy received. So Lord Chaitanya, he spoke that to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya then instructed him, don't worry, you'll be protected if you constantly chant the holy name. By incessantly chanting the holy name, you'll never become unnecessarily proud. And you can't incessantly chant the holy name. You can't sincerely even chant the holy name once without humility. So humility is the antidote for pride. And taking up the chanting of the holy name properly protects one from that very destructive characteristic or quality of pride. And I'm just going to end with reading a little bit from the next verse and purport, because Jiva Goswami comments. And Jiva Goswami is one of my heroes. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita reads, of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one can easily obtain the most valuable love of Godhead. Humility being the root, the springboard for bhakti. Bhakti sincerely performed, calling to Krishna for his descending mercy. Jiva Goswami writes in his Bhakti Sandarbha, chanting of the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor does one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities, because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And there's more. But the activity, chanting, the mood, calling for descending mercy. The requirement for us to call for descending mercy is a mood of humility, like we were discussing yesterday evening, because some persons are here that weren't here yesterday evening. Even one may be decorated with, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the languages, many excellences, like opulences, some gifts, some endowments. Looking around the room, I'm thinking of a number of devotees have so many special abilities and capacities and things given by Krishna. Even one may have those special things. One should cultivate purposefully and factually a sense of my own tiny position, my factual lack of inherent qualification. Simply Krishna may be kind and give something. Many of you, probably almost everybody here, you weren't part of creating this temple. We just, you know, came in and here it is. There's a long history of, you know, the temple being established here in Rogers Park, and before that in Evanston, and the installation of Kishore Kishori, and these beautiful Vyasasans. And devotees work very, very hard to establish this temple, and working continually very hard to maintain it and keep it in nice condition and provide a situation for nurturing the Krishna consciousness of those who come and attend. That's a labor of love, a labor of devotion. So it's not, you know, oh, those poor devotees that work so hard. It was wonderful. And from the Chicago temple, over the years, so many books have been distributed to so many people all over the city and in the airports and all over the place. So much wonderful devotional service has been performed, and here we are. We just come walking in and Hari Bol, just like handed to us. It's nice to remember and offer our heartfelt appreciation and gratitude for those who are in the past and in the present and in the future will maintain, because it's not easy to establish and maintain very strong Krishna conscious activity and temple facility. And I mean, just like even right now, I don't know how many people are in the kitchen, but I imagine there's a whole bunch of people in the kitchen preparing prasadam for us. It'll be offered to the deities, and so many other things that go unseen, but we're receiving the kind service of so many devotees. That's nice, to do the service and to be in the receiving end of service, sometimes in the giving, sometimes in the receiving, give and take based on love and trust. So how do we keep our hearts fit to be in that situation of devotional service, nice devotional service with nice devotees, trying their best to progress just as we're trying to progress. The essence is this chanting of the holy name, and chanting of the holy name, kirtan and japa, done in a proper way. Hare Krishna. So any discussion? It's a little different sitting looking at everybody sitting on this side of the room than that side of the room. I get to see all the light out there, and you get to see the wall. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Regarding chanting continuously, and continuously meaning 24 hours or
sure.
hour waking, could you
sure.
talk a little bit about that?
Where's Jai Jagannath? Do you in your dreams, do you sometimes, you're in kirtan in your dreams?
I wish I could say yes, Maharaj. Occasionally.
Sometimes?
Rarely, but sometimes.
Okay. Okay. Is that what you're asking specifically, like when you're zonked out horizontal and you're not vertical? 24 hours? Huh?
Those hours and hours when we're doing other things.
Okay, the waking hours.
Yes.
Okay. I've had dreams of, you know, just being in kirtan and wake up, you know, chanting. Yeah. Nirvita? Just sloka recitation for you, huh? Especially when they blast the heat. You know, at night it's cold, and because it's so cold, you turn the heat up. But last night I was just sweating. Anyway, I wasn't dreaming about kirtan. I was in something somewhere else. The waking part, we have to be practical. You know, somebody that's working can't, you know, sit at their workstation with their bead bag on and, you know, from 9 to 5 and chant japa and then go home. It's not going to work. But depending upon the individual. Have you ridden in a car when Jai Jagannath is driving? Yes, once? What was he doing while driving?
What was he doing while driving? I don't know, but while he was driving, I was definitely chanting.
I do. He is always singing. Softly. This melody, that melody. And he doesn't get carried away when, you know, the tempo starts going and he goes off the road. He says, but it's second nature. It's not like, okay, now I have to chant. It's just second nature. It's part of his blood cells and brain cells, and it's part of his being. Just to chant. From that having taken shelter. So, Dravida will know this from his association with Buddy Narayan Prabhu. As soon as he's done with something, he's singing something. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. It has a very deep baritone voice, right? It's just spontaneous because it's something that one has cultivated. So while doing a particular task, he's certainly absorbed in the task. But as soon as the task is completed by practice and cultivation, just goes to the holy name. like that by practice and cultivation. Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. The holy name is everything. If, as that enters into your being, that's the place of shelter. And when that's your, in your being, your place of shelter, the holy name comes. Something else? Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes I have difficulty entering the prayerful mood in kirtan when the melody may be very celebratory compared to some of the meditations that we may have been focusing on today.
And celebrate. There's a time for meditation and time for celebration. You celebrate. But, you know, the mind doesn't go away from Krishna. It's just the mood is a celebration mood instead of a subdued meditation mood. It's a celebration mood. I was just listening to a discussion between Srila Prabhupada and Yogi Bhajan. Some of you may know who that person is. He was a contemporary of Prabhupada, who was the leader of the Sikh religion, and it was a very prominent figure. So Yogi Bhajan was sharing with Prabhupada how the kinds of things he hears about criticism of the Hare Krishna movement and how he responded. You know, why do these people go there singing and dancing and all day long, singing and dancing? It's a nuisance kind of a message. And he replied to them, they're leaders. They sing and they dance. And so the followers, they sing and they dance and they find happiness in it. What is the problem? So celebrate. And some people may like to meditate. So meditate. Meditate, celebrate. Let the mind go to Krishna. Something else? Yes, over here.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, when Krishna says that of the senses I am the mind, how should I understand this with respect to controlling my mind during japa?
How should you understand controlling your mind during japa in relation to Krishna saying, of the senses I am the mind?
Yeah.
That's your question. Well, the mind is not only one of the senses, but it's the chief of the senses. And what's the proper use of the mind, the chief of the senses? As well as following the chief of the senses, the other senses will follow. The mind is meant for going to Krishna. Krishna is the best of everything. So amongst the senses, he's the best. And amongst the senses, it's the mind. The mind should go to Krishna. That which is the best of the senses should go to the best object.
Krishna himself is mind, then how can I control?
Oh. By love. And by obedience. Because Krishna also says, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring it back under the control of the self. So Krishna says that, follow his instruction. It's not, please don't twist the words or interpret the words to be, I'm supposed to control Krishna. It's rather, of the senses, the chief is the mind, and Krishna is the chief of everything. He's the best of everything. His vibhuti, his opulences, he's the best of everything. And of the senses, the mind is the best. in that sense. It's a vibhuti. It's not Krishna is the mind. And I'm supposed to control Krishna. That's not the meaning. It's his vibhuti. And in addition, bring the mind to Krishna when it wanders, under Krishna's order. Bring the best of the senses, the mind, to Krishna when it wanders, under Krishna's order. Okay?
Prayers will help.
Okay. Jitendriya.
From time to time you hear devotees commenting upon other people's chanting. Or when you come into the temple room, it sounds like a beehive, which is okay. Chandramouli Swami said, your rounds before Mangalartik are more powerful. And I found that the mind is not so disturbed at that time. So it just flows, you know, it's almost effortlessly. But like in the afternoon or in the evening, it's just like you've been
it's different.
Drawn through the day, and you've experienced many Kali Yuga impressions, and so you're just kind of like, whoa, you know, I got to sit down, and then you fall asleep. I remember, I think it was Srila Prabhupada, he was listening to somebody chanting, and he says he's missing a Rama in there or something, you know. And did you ever hear that?
No.
No. Okay. So I just, you know, and then I'm asking myself how many minutes it takes to take a round, and then when I'll hear somebody else chanting, it just sounds like slurred words, whereas when you listen to Prabhupada's tape, it's, you know, very clear and every syllable is, you know, distinct. So. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. What to do?
But, you know, some people say, well, I can chant around in 5 minutes or 7 minutes. Or, I mean, I used to, it was, you know, like a 10-minute round, but sometimes it's a 12-minute round. I don't know, is that okay?
You know? Yeah, you're not in the penalty box.
Pardon me?
You're not put in a penalty box for that.
Okay.
You're not in violating anything. Mm-hmm. Niyamatak smarane nikala.
Yeah. But, I mean, you get the impression that sometimes things are just too slurred and it doesn't
sure.
sound like... And do you ever go up and correct a disciple or something like that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite, correcting disciples.
Thankless test. Thank you.
Bang on the side of the head. Dravida Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, you got your own mic.
I got my own mic. One thing I remember from reading the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava book, the nice biography.
Okay.
That he was... in one of the sections, he was emphasizing to his disciples that it's important to glorify the holy name
uh-huh.
as well. We're talking about prayer and supplication here. And in context with what we've been talking about, the Vandanam, yesterday I was presenting, you know, that there's these three elements of obeisance
yes.
and glorification
yes.
and prayer. So, my experience, understanding the holy name as a person, as Krishna himself, mm. and that was the first Suditashita Janati Rashi verse, is addressing the holy name as a person. Oh, holy name, please give me more taste for you and all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we find there's so many beautiful shlokas glorifying the holy name, that Namashtaka has other verses, that... we may find it, I've experienced it, it's easier to approach or pray to the holy name as a person when your mind, when you spend some time glorifying, And then just on this, on the understanding, oh, it is a person. And if you're glorified, you're going to also pay attention to that person glorifying you. In the same way that when, you know, just glorifying Krishna is an important part of our process. Aside from requesting anything or meditating, is glorifying. So that's an important part of the that I understand from our acharyas and myself. The battle to absorb the mind in the holy name, that Krishna will give you the ability, more ability to do that. The holy name will give you the ability when you glorify. So I just wanted to throw that into the mix.
From the glorification component of japa or chanting?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the actual chanting of japa or kirtan, so many verses, so many descriptions glorifying the holy name. To spend the Shikshastika is perfect.
But are you saying that from the glorification, Krishna is attracted, Krishna jumps into the battle and knocks out the opponent?
I'm saying that in conjunction with the prayerful attitudes and these meditations you've given us, I don't want to say it's more effective, but I'm saying that in my own experience, that there is it's easier to focus on the holy name. You get the blessing of the holy name, which is to get more taste, to be able to focus better, you know. So that element of vandanam, of glorification, as well as the prayer, it works well together. That's my basic point.
Okay, so jubilation works too. Celebration, jubilation, glorification. Okay, looks like we're done. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.